And I'll try to hurry because I know you're tired. You've been sitting there. And it's been fun, hasn't it? Has it been fun? Isn't it nice to be in the fellowship of other believers and sensing the power of God? Aren't we just literally stirred up? Amen? And before I start, I just want to share a little glimpse, because when I'm up here speaking, you're going to have to say, oh my gosh, I thought I had problems. Amen? Last year when I was here in September, there were a few things going on, but I thought I had a good handle on it. By November, I started having strokes. I'd had about 8 strokes probably from the time I was here in September to January. Then I started having more strokes. While I was in Georgia, a pharmacist came up to me, a good friend, a very prophetic man, outstanding man in his community, top leading elder in the city. I mean, just an awesome, awesome man. I love him with all my heart. And I went to the pharmacist because he couldn't come to the meeting, and he's always there. He's also been one of my workshop speakers a couple years. But I've known him a long time. And he come running up to me, grabbed my face, and he said, Nancy, you're dying. And he said, you're on Plavix. You need to get off of it now. I'd been on Plavix for 2 years because 2 years ago I had that one stroke, remember, that I shared, and it was like, okay, I went off the Plavix. At that time, I lost so much weight, it was like I was fighting to put weight on. I was starting to lose a lot of weight, and I was doing a ministry that was 2.5 months, and they were really careful with me, and God never failed me. Whenever I got up and spoke, the strength was there, but in between, I was just so sick. I had no immune system. First time in my life I ever got pneumonia. The antibiotics wouldn't work. I was just getting sicker and sicker and sicker. I got back to Alaska, and you know, when you have a stroke, you know you're having a stroke. And meanwhile, we're monitoring my MRIs and my CAT scans, and they can tell, and one of the particular ones, they can tell when you're having them. And I got back, and I was talking to Lisa McDonald on the phone, and while I was talking to her, all of a sudden, I couldn't move my mouth. And it was affecting my left side and my leg, and I remember there for a little while, this leg would just kind of give out on me, and this arm had no strength in it, and by April, they were starting to get all the information in, and they were starting to find out that I was very, very sick, and a lot of things were going on. And, you know, you got all your Christian friends saying, you know, just be careful, you know, careful of the reports of the world. And so everything that I was hearing, I knew that yes, they were warnings and whatever, but I was going to do whatever I could to help those doctors get my life lined out. But I was walking in the presence of the Lord, and we did a conference, and they had a heart monitor on me when the conference started because they wanted to see if it was my heart that was throwing those clots and what was going on, and they still hadn't got all the tests in. Well, let me put it this way. They had tests in, but the wrong doctors were looking at them, and they weren't seeing what was wrong with me. And this has been going on since 2006. And so I just had the wrong doctors. And all of a sudden, the neurologist and the heart doctor and the hematologist and the internalist, all of a sudden I had a brand new team. There's actually another one. There was a brand new team on me. And they started going in a different direction. My team was like wanting to shut me down. They were scared. They were afraid they were going to lose me. They didn't want me to go out. They didn't want me to do any more ministry. They were afraid I was going to die. And I'm going, look, stop this. I said, we're going to walk toward what God has called us to do. And if I get taken out, this one and this one and this one is able to take that ministry on and isn't about me. And then they started backing up and repenting and saying, okay, we're going to do this. And I remember during the conference the first night, I ripped off the heart monitor. I said, enough of this. It isn't my heart. It isn't my heart. But after that, well, the MRIs and et cetera were coming in, and it was showing that I was having storm strokes. Now what was happening is when a clot was going into my brain, and they don't know what was causing it, but when that clot would hit the brain, it was like a dome was in there that broke it, and it would shatter it, and so I was having storm strokes. And when I first saw some of the MRIs and the CAT scans pictures, I mean, I knew a good friend of ours, and her husband's a doctor. You know, he would point out where the strokes were and say, this is a recent one. This was, you know, 2 years ago. This was 3 years ago. And they just started showing me them. Listen, this, I mean, you can go in and your arm's broken, and you can go, okay, you know, put a brace on it and fix it. But when you're looking at your brain and your brain is being attacked, I was looking at it, and I just remember walking out at one time, and everybody was in the other room discussing my brain, and I was out there looking out the window, and tears were just going down my face because I thought I was done. And that any minute I could have a stroke, and that would be done. And my father and my grandmother and et cetera all died of strokes. So, ooh. So I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to think. I did not want fear to overcome me. I wanted to be right in the Lord. And then they found out I had a protein. I mean, if in 2006 they would have looked at all my blood, they would have saw what was going on with me. But these specialists don't know how to read blood tests. They count on the numbers, and that when the lab technician send them in, that they're going to give them a heads up what was wrong. And they didn't do that. But you got these professionals, these best of the best, that Larry Stinson got me appointments with, that are the best, and you can't get an appointment with them for 6 months to a year. I was walking in getting these appointments. I mean, people were moving mountains to get me where I needed to be. And you know, this is the devil. You know, the devil didn't want me to get where I was going, supposed to go. And, you know, it was like, I didn't know what to do except trust the Lord. You know what? I will fight the war, and I'll get through the storms. That's my song, and that's going to be your song. Amen? Amen? And there's another one that they're going to be bringing on board, and that's also another one. It just is so powerful for the season for a lot of people. And so, yes, I find out that my thyroid is out of whack, seriously. Got to go on thyroid medicine. I'm on warfarin. I mean, at first they start sticking needles in my stomach to get my blood straightened out so I wouldn't have any strokes. Then they put me on warfarin. Any of you know about Kuhneman? What that is you got to go in every week and give blood, and they got to level you. And sometimes you're moving like this, and then the next thing you know, you're moving like this. And I mean, it's like all these drugs are running my life, and the next thing you know, I'm a diabetic, type 2 diabetic. I mean, you name it. I remember when they announced you're a diabetic, they handed me all the equipment and said you need to start doing your blood, and you need to keep a record, and you got to change your diet. Well, I already was changing my diet massively. And I remember walking out of the car. This is the final thing. I walked out to the car with Liz Stinson after seeing the doctor and getting that final garbage. Life-saving information, though. I sat in the car, and I know that Liz just thought, what a basket case. But I sat down in the car, and I said, all this time, I've been in denial. All this time, they've been saying, I have this, and I have this, and I have this. But before I walked out of that doctor's office that day, she said, Nancy, you have diseases. And a light bulb went on in me. I had diseases. What the heck? I'm God's kid. I'll do anything for him. I never say no. And I'm getting in the car and I'm saying, I got diseases. He went to the cross for my diseases. I never looked at it that way. This was a life-changing event for me, because it's like, what the heck? And you can put other words if you want. But that's what I thought. Where's Liz? I need to have her focus. Where isn't that the truth? She's back there laughing. I was so upset. She labeled me. I have diseases. What do I do? I got to get rid of these diseases. I got to go to God and go, well, you're missing the mark here. I've got diseases and I'm your kid. I'm the same one. I'm the same one when my daughter disappeared and I got in your face and I said, I don't deserve this. I need to know. I don't want to have to wait a lifetime to find out our bones are up in the mountain somewhere. I said, I need to know where my daughter is. And I need to know today you promised me you would take care of my daughter. And I'll tell you what, 10 minutes later, a policeman called and says, we have your daughter. Somebody had kidnapped her. Somebody was holding her. One of the top drug dealers in the state of Alaska, he didn't know what he got a hold of. And he had to negotiate with the Anchorage Police Department. And they kept denying she was there, but it leaked out. They had kidnapped her out of her apartment. And here's the neat thing about it. He kept denying and denying and denying, and one of the negotiators says, you let that girl go, and we'll give you 24 hours to get out of that house before we start looking for you. And they were waiting like two blocks over because that guy came out of that house. It was the biggest drug dealer in the state of Alaska. He got a crush on her. And he didn't realize what he got. He didn't know whose daughter that was. Amen? And that young man, that police officer, was standing there, and here come Christy down that walkway. And Christy was so full of drugs. They had pumped her up in every orifice and whatever you want to... gave her drugs and stuff. They had to take her right to the hospital. Took a little while to get that all out of her system and whatever. But God gave me back my daughter. Amen? And God's going to give me back my health. Amen? Amen? And tonight I'm declaring, if you came up here and you asked and you lift up your righteous right hand, he touched your righteous right hand with his righteous right hand, and your healing is in process right now. Now you can deny it. You can look the other way. Maybe it'll follow through and you'll be healed and you won't even notice it, and you probably won't give him any glory. Or you're going to notice it moment by moment, and you're going to get stronger and stronger, and you're going to quit laying in your bed and quit laying on those problems and get up and move and watch and see God's hand move. Because how do you think I'm standing up here doing what I'm doing? Because one of the main places that I got a stroke was in my emotional, and another place is my memory. And how can I remember what to say? My friends remind me. Amen? So I tell you that to say that you should see my blood sugars. They're doing so good. I mean, when I get a little, like, oh, this is a little high, Lisa McDonald look at it and goes, that's easy. That's good. You're way down below normal, you know, for type 2. And so I'm telling you, if you just listen to God, I will stay on the appropriate medicines because they are a crutch. Just like if I broke a leg and I have been cast and I get a crutch to help me get around until I can build up and be a good stewardship of my body to get me back in place. Amen? Yeah. Amen? Amen? And don't forget the great physician. Who is that? That's right. And also, one of the apostles, he was a great physician, wasn't he? Was it Luke? Amen? A doctor of medicine, you guys. Amen? And their school created an eye salve that healed many people. So don't get all weird about medicine. God created medicine. Amen? That's because we're so stubborn and silly and just don't want to believe him. Amen? He just wants us to believe him. So I stand before you, and I declare I'm on the mend, and I thank God how much he loves me. Amen? Thank God for how much he loves you. You know what you've been through. You know the dark places that you wandered, and you know the hopelessness that you were in. But I'll tell you what, faith gets up. Amen? I've never been mad at God through this. Never. been mad at God. The only time I went toe-to-toe was with my daughter, because I realized after all of that, 7 days of just total, just fear of a mother for love for her daughter, I never was mad at God. But at that point, when I saw my husband go over a bank down into a valley, because she had one day said if ever there was a place that she would want to die, that would be it, where she named. And Henry was just so heavy laden with that. And he says, I have to take you there. I think she's there. I said, Henry, she's alive. I said, I'm telling you how much I know she's alive. I think I know where she is. I know the area, Russian Jack Springs. I keep seeing it in the spirit. And he says, I've got to go to this place. And I remember my husband, he's a faithful, godly man, pastor. But he went over that hill, and when he went down into that valley in that ravine there between Stoughton and or from Anchorage to Kenai, he went down there, and I just didn't want him to do it. I said, Henry, even if she did do that, a bear would have hauled her off. 7 days, he probably already ate her. You know? Great wife, huh? I was just trying to figure out a way for him not to go down there. I was terrified for him to go down there. And I was telling him, she's alive, she's alive, she's alive. God told me she's alive. He'd give her back to me in 7 days. He kept saying that from the minute she disappeared. A lot of you know that testimony. And then Henry comes up over the rise about a half hour later, tears just going down his face. And he said, that was my last hope. I don't know what to do. You know, I know you men, you like to be fixers. He couldn't fix it. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, you go back down there again. I didn't know how to deal with him. My heart was broke for him to see my husband cry. And I said, go back down there. I'm going to drive down the highway, and there's a rest spot. Walk on down that far. I don't know what I was saying that for, because I knew she wasn't down there. But he was crying, and I just wanted him to, I don't know why I'd sit him on that dirty. And he was just despondent, you know. So he goes on over the hill. I head down the road, and that's when I heard that song that Uda had given me about. Uda, you remember that song about One Night with the King? That's what stirred it up. I was listening to that song, One Night with the King, and I said, either Christy's with me still on this earth, or she's with you one night eternally with you. But I'll tell you what, Lord, I have never said no to you. I have been faithful to you. I'll do whatever you ask me to do. And I'm asking you this one thing. I deserve to know whether she's alive or dead. And I whipped that car around. I went roaring back up to that place that Henry went over the edge. And I hung over there. Henry, come back, come back. And he came back up and he goes, what? Let's go to Russian Jack Springs. I don't know why I got to go there, but I got to go there. Everybody at Anchorage, it was all over. You guys probably heard about it down here. She was missing. This was several years ago. And 20 minutes later, guess where she was? In the Russian Jack Springs area. God was faithful, and he gave me my daughter back, and he's going to give me my health back. But I have to do my part, and you have to do your part, and you have to get up. Because faith gets up and gets up and gets up. Amen? Amen? Now, tonight, I want to talk to you about the first word the Lord gave me when he gave me the word, and he talked about the four things it means. And by the way, the other one was it deliverance and redemption, Debbie? That was the other door. You'll hear the four doors is salvation and redemption or deliverance, redemption. Salvation and redemption and the Feast of the Trumpets. And that's why we were blowing the shofar last night. We'll be blowing it again tomorrow night. But it started with the Feast of the Trumpet last year for the new year for 2014. It was a door. It was a key. But it's the sound of the Lord. And his sound and his first word was alliance. And he said, do you know what alliance means? And I went, oh my gosh, I do know what alliance means. That means when you bring different entities together. And see, I was basically a history major. I loved history, and I didn't care what it was. I always want to know what the wars were and why the wars happened and the outcomes of the wars and the interaction. And basically what it was later is I wanted to try to fill it out what side God was on. What side was God on in all those wars? And you know, the Lord really always showed me that the hearts of a lot was their heart for the Lord, and they thought they were doing the right thing. Really, the Lord showed me in a lot of those things, a lot of those wars, especially here in America. But anyway, just the history of understanding war and where did God fit in all these wars that were going on. So what I do know is that when there's wars against different entities, there's alliances formed. There's good guys that form together and bad guys that form together, and they merge forth. Right after God gave me this word about alliance last year, that was the first time I saw the president of our United States visit with the president of France. And he got up and he said, "We have formed an alliance." And it started. And it has been going on. We prayed the borders of America. And when we were on the western border, the Lord said, "You know, I'm going to tell you the strong men over America. There's five, and then I will tell you the sixth." And when he started out, he said, "The first one is the strong man of war that is in America." And I went, "Lord, what do you mean war in America?" And when you talk about war, war is when two factions come together, whether it's in a marriage, whether it's in the church, whether it's in the government, whether it's with friends, whether it's in business, whatever it is, the enemy wants to bring strife and division wherever there's an agreement where two come together, a partnering comes together. There ends up the enemy bringing strife, and there's a spirit of war and division. And then it's in the government, it's in the White House, it can be in the Capitol. I'm telling you, it's in America against other countries and vice versa. It is a strong spirit. It is the strongest stronghold in America. The second one is the stronghold of greed. And I'm telling you, you would think greed would be second? Yes, greed is second. And I'll tell you, God is speaking to the church about our greed. Yes, greed is rampant across America, and it's greed for who's got whose car, who's got what dress, who's got what hanging in the halls and walls of their homes and their churches and whatever. But you watch, everybody's trying to get it up on the other. They look out the driveway. So-and-so has this kind of car. Oh, yeah, I'm going to have this kind of car. And I'm telling you that form of greed is in the church. It is in the church. And I can walk in your home and prove it. And you go, "I'm not greedy. We don't need it." We think we do. We're convinced we need it. The third one is that religious spirit. And I'll tell you, the religious spirit isn't as strong as that warring spirit, but the religious spirit comes in so subtly. It affects in the church. It affects our worship team. It affects the attitude of even the seats that you're sitting on. It affects the attitude of the politics and the traditions, the philosophies, the theology. It's got to be this way. It's got to be this way. And by the way, you people on that side of the room, I know you're from the other side of the track, so we're not crossing over. You sit over there. That's where you belong. And how dare you sit in the front row? That's where my family sits. We get religious about our music. I'll tell you, down on the other side of this country, I've had churches when I've gone in and spoke, and they go, "Do you request any music?" And I'll name some music that talks about the blood of Jesus. They'll go, "No, we can't do that music because we don't like to put conviction on people." I'm telling you, that's not a lie. That is the truth. "We only talk about the blood of Jesus on Easter." Great. Already I feel shackled. I tell you, we're just getting so user-friendly and seeker-friendly out there. You have no idea. I am so blessed with the churches in Alaska. And if any of you travel, you know what I'm talking about. It is hard. It's tough. Everybody's afraid to say the truth from the pulpit. How dare you? You'll get sued. You'll be watched. You'll be sued for saying the wrong things. I just say how it is, because if it's how it is, I heard it from God first. Amen? Praise God. Then the next one is let's see, this is the fourth one. This is a mystery spirit. And I shared this with you guys last year. And the mystery spirit is like it's like you don't know where it came from and you don't even know when it leaves. And the mystery spirit comes in the forms of addiction. It comes in the forms of sickness and disease and illness. It comes in all kinds of forms and matters that mess up our mind and our thinking, our physical body. It's power, but it's like it comes on you and you don't know where it came from. You're thinking, why am I acting this way? Why am I jealous? Why am I possessive? Why am I doing this? But it's a mystery, called a mystery spirit, and you can't see it. It's hooded over and clouded, and you can't see where it came from. And again, I say, when it lifts and it goes, it's like, oh, it's gone. And most of the time, you can't even pinpoint when it left. But I'll tell you what we do is we embrace it, and we hold on to it, and we fear it. And that was my battle when I was getting all those reports, is wait a minute. When they finally said the word disease, I said, I can't have a disease. I'm the king's kid. So what do I got to do to get out of this situation? Yes, I naturally got it through my birth. But Lord, I have your blood in me. Amen? And where everybody else has a disease and they're saying you're going to be struggling, da 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 da, I believe in the power of God and I believe in the power of prayer. I'm walking my healing out, and I don't care what anybody says. It's like loved ones. I have two loved ones that got Hep C, the worst, and got healed of it. Amen? It's the power of God's word. Amen? If you believe. And that's what the Holy Spirit is here for, to convict us to believe. And that's what the Holy Spirit did when I got in the car and I started boo-hooing and talking myself through it. Amen? And it was a journey. Because I got a pile of pills and I had to go, I was gone for 2.5 months. And that whole 2.5 months, I was very sick. I was very sick. Got six chapters of our book written, but I'm telling you, I was very sick and it was a battle. But it was getting up every day and getting out. I was in Hawaii for 2.5 months, and I think the most I went in the water was 3 or 4 times because I didn't have the strength. I didn't have the strength. If I was taken out, I wasn't out very long. I had to come back because I was tired. It was hard for me to even walk. It was hard for me to get out of the car. It was hard for me to get out of the bed. My whole body hurt so bad. I never had so much pain in my life. But God. And I kept getting up. All the doctors are amazed. My neurologist tells Henry, this is a miracle. This shouldn't be. She's had too many strokes. He says, I can't explain. All I can do is look at your wife, and I know the word that you guys use is, because we're both pastors, you're saying this is the power of prayer, and this is miracles. And I'm going, amen, it is. Amen. Testimony. Thank you. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. So, in telling you all that, we have to form alliances with, number one, this room is full of people from all different places here in Ketchikan and other parts. We have all made an agreement to come together to form an alliance. Wherever your background's from, whatever you thought, I mean, you may not even want to be in this church, but you formed an alliance to come in here and be with us. Amen? To God's glory. Hallelujah. And that's what God is asking us to do, is to come into unity. What is it? I think it's in, is it Psalms 133 that talks about our unity? Let's go there. Psalms 133. I'm praying that this is it, because I'm not looking at my notes. Yes, it is. I mean, this is the most powerful scripture. It's talking about the unity of the people of God. Are we the people of God? Then why do we have so much disunity? Why do we pick out those things that are so silly to fight about? Why can't we just love each other and pray for each other, encourage each other? Now, I'm not expecting you to sit next to somebody that their personality is opposite of yours and you don't really want to sit next to them. That's okay. But it's not a place to judge them. It's not. Amen? If we're the body of Christ, and if we would operate the body of Christ, just as I was sharing about those spirits here in America that are controlling, if we are walking properly, I'm telling you, there'll be such a unity that the enemy can't break through. But he does break through, and he brings in lies. And in those lies, you wonder, how come the enemy can get into the church? What is it that all of a sudden a portion of the men in the church are dealing with pornography? Maybe even some women. Why is there fornication going on in the church? Because we haven't formed an alliance and pulled together and guarded each other and stood for righteousness and spoke righteousness from the pulpit. Isn't that the truth? And see, that fifth spirit over this country is the spirit of lust and perversion. It's a stronghold. And I'll tell you what, you go to Sears and you're picking out little outfits for your little girls, that spirit of lust and perversion is in the clothing. I think about how when I was going to the church that we were ordained after, the pastor got up and he gave a message. He said, "Women, if you don't want them to look, why don't you cinch your tops up higher?" You know, there were like five or six couples that left the church because of that. But he said, it's hard for men not to look if you're going to show it. Now, that's a tough thing to say. But I'll tell you, the spirit of lust and perversion is rampant in this world. When Sarah and I did the borders of America and we saw the billboards, you're driving along the highway, I feel so bad for the truck drivers. I do. I mean, I made some funnies in private about that, but I'm going to tell you what. It was awful, the things that I saw. Awful. Bare butt, naked men and women showing their backs. There are some of the most awful in Florida billboards I've ever seen in my life in Florida, going along the highway when we were praying the eastern border. I got witnesses in here. I went, holy smokes. I mean, our kids are going to be driving in the car and see that. It's because we're anesthetized. We're passive and we don't see. And our standards have just kind of laid down. And we're not looking at what our children are don't even know how to assess. And then we wonder what's going on. There's one of the ladies that's with me is a school teacher, and she just got a report of a 8-year-old kid that brought pornography to school. An 8-year-old kid. It made us cry. Our little babies. And yet, then you get with some people and they don't want the TV on and they want the garbage in the house and they go, oh, they're just being religious. They're just being religious. Oh, I'm telling you, God has put you charge and govern over those children, protect them, and bring them up in the way that they will know their Lord. Amen? You want to know the sixth one before I go to Psalms 33, back to Psalms 33? I want to share something, a little bit of woo-woo. And he said to me, those are the five, the warring, the greed, the religious spirit, the mystery spirit, and then the lust and perversion. Those are the five over this country. But there's a sixth, he said. And this blew me away, just out of the blue. Just out of the blue, he said, and this is the sixth one. This surprised me because I didn't have a lot of knowledge. He said, the Nimrod spirit is strong over America. The strong man. The Nimrod spirit. I went, whoa, whoa. And he said, it's not about your president. Don't nail him on this. Amen? The Nimrod spirit, what is that about? I want to read you what Jehoshaphat said. At the account of Nimrod in the Tower of Babel. This is of great interest, okay? Now it was Nimrod who was excited them and brought such an affront and contempt of God. Right now in this hour, our media has such a contempt and an affront against God. And they'll make fun of us as Christians and the people that they interview. They mock them when they quote scripture or give a testimony or etc. Amen? My earring just came off. Anyway, he says, first of all, Nimrod, and I didn't know much about Nimrod. Amen? Only that God called him a great hunter. Okay? But it says he was the grandson of Ham and the son of Noah, and a bold man of great strength and hand. He persuaded them not to ascribe to God. Am I a witness to you right now that from the top up they're not ascribing to God? Does it not say in the book of Jude that our apostles said, be careful because they'll walk in their own strength, their own senses, and they'll deny the power of God. They'll deny the Spirit. They will not be led by the Spirit because they're on a standard. And why do you think this is happening? It's because we are bringing our children up and they're growing up to be adults and they understand the form of godliness, which it talks about in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 5. We walk in the form, but we do not acknowledge or walk through the power and the Spirit of God. We deny it. Amen? And so when our kids rise up and they go to school, they've got this battle. They got this confronting them and by the professors, because the minute they say they're a Christian, it is all out war. You want to talk about war and storms? We've got a kid in our church right now that his foundation is Jesus Christ. His mom just died about a month ago in our church. He went off to college. He wrote me and he said, I can't do this. I am not strong enough. I have a whole class that is anti-Christ. I'm the only Christian in this class. And it's a battle every day. It's hard to find friends because it's gotten around that I am a Christian and what I believe. I've got to come home. I'm not strong enough. He's going home. And you want to know something? One of the things Henry and I are going to do is make sure that kid's foundation is so strong that when he's ready to go, because he really trusts Henry and I. When he's ready to go, he's going to have a better foundation. And that's that movie that's going around about God is not dead. He's going to he never saw it. He never saw it. His dad wouldn't let him watch it. But I'm going to tell you what. He's going to watch it at my house. And he's going to go, oh, this is what happened to me. But see, he didn't have the foundation. Are we teaching our kids and our grandchildren the foundation? See, we got to form alliances with God and the people around us and our church, and we need to pull in together because we have a battle. We got to pull in together and walk in unity. The Lord's saying, I need you to walk in unity. Amen? But I will go on and read a little more about this man. He persuaded them not to ascribe to God, as it were, though he means their happiness, that they would believe that it was their own courage which they needed to procure to be happy. You don't need God's strength. That's, you know what Nimrod did? What he did is he was, at that period of time when Nimrod came into the scene, it was after the flood and the animals went all over. There's the impression that the animals weren't ferocious, but they became ferocious after the flood. And he learned to be an expert bowman, spearsman, and he was an excellent hunter. And that's why God said he was a good hunter. So what that meant was that he said, come into the city and let me protect you. Come into the city. You don't need God. He was mad at God because his forefathers, he feels like God destroyed them all. So he said, you trust me. He told them to come out of the villages and come into the city. And then he said, let's build the Tower of Babel. And you know the rest of the story. I had to go on that really quick little journey with you just to say that that spirit is over America. We have this attitude that we're entitled. We've taught our children that the government's there and will take care of all the needs. What about us? What about us and what we can do and how we can help one another, form alliance and help one another? Remember when Vicki Yingster was here and her house burned down? Before that, her husband died. She was a widow. Her children were basically orphans. And I'm telling you, I watched this town come alongside and help her through her loss. And it didn't matter what church, everybody was helping her, giving her pictures and hope and prayer, helping her financially. And then one, I mean, if you have any luck at all, it's bad luck. Her house burns to the ground. Here now she's a widow without her husband. He just dies of a heart attack on Christmas Day. And that she's a widow and her kids need a daddy and a man, somebody to help her because she's got those boys and they're going every direction and they're hurt and they're angry and they don't understand what happened to their daddy. And it's like this widow and these orphans, the church should have formed an alliance, and I'm saying that, around her and pulled those boys in and got those boys directed, and it doesn't matter what church. We're the body of Christ. Amen? But they did. A lot came in, and they helped her. I think they helped her build another house. Isn't that so? I can't remember everything that happened. She's married and lives up in Wasilla right now, remarried. But I tell you, God, I saw it with my own eyes. I would write her. I would write her every day. Every day I'd text her and tell Vicki, you are my hero. You're my champion. You're my hero. I mean, here is a woman that lost her husband with three children and still trying to move on and raise them. And I know that's happened to a lot of people. But as the body of Christ, we form an alliance. The Lord said the true fast says, are you taking care of the widows and the orphans? Or have we decided the government needs to do that? It's off my slate. I don't have to take care of that. I pay taxes. They can take care of it. Am I making sense? The church is responsible. Our church is responsible. Her church is responsible. We're taking in the widows and the orphans. We're watching over them and making sure their roofs are on and their oil tanks are filled and the wood is in the stove. And I'll tell you what, and if it means getting them food out of my cupboard or it goes, you go to Love Inc. or whoever that provides, that's our job. Amen? Form an alliance. Amen. So 133. Bless the unity of the people of God is the title. This is a song of David. Behold how good and pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. I think it's great that we have fellowship, potlucks, and we hang out together. But I think it's even greater if you go out there and pull the rest in. Amen? And God knows our personalities and our natures, and he knows where we're going to fit. And yet we still need to form an alliance and stay connected. There's been times I've preached at this church over the years where there were other pastors from other churches that came and they pulled up chairs at the door. They didn't want to come in here and sit with everybody else. They pulled chairs up there to open that wide door out there, and they sat in chairs and listened to me speak out there. Do you remember that? Do you remember that happening? And I just had to chuckle because I had to go back there. They weren't going to come and sit in here with these believers in here. They didn't agree. They didn't agree. What kind of an alliance is that? I was glad they came this close. But I'm excited when I go to a town and the pastors get together and they have pastors' luncheons and the pastors get together and they talk and they encourage. We've had those meetings in our church, in our hometown, and they go in other places. And I'll tell you what it's about is sit down and say, how's it going in your church? How can I pray for you? You know, Susie so-and-so, you know, she got mad and she left. Is she over at your church? Well, just let me tell you, we're praying for you and blah, 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 blah. It's not a gossip session. It is about alliances and holding up the body of Christ and caring about what's going on and who the users are and who the ones are that really have needs. Amen? So it goes on to say, behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together. I'll tell you what, you're my brother and you are my sister. Amen? Wherever I go, I mean the Elks Club and the Eagles Club, they've got clubs all over the United States. I used to be an Elk. I used to be an Eagle. My father was. He started the Eagles Club up there and on the Kenai Peninsula. He was in the Elks Club. He was in the main charter of putting that together. You can see some of my father in me and me in my father because he was a planter. He was apostolic in the world. And he got those things going. And you know what? When Henry and I moved up to Fairbanks, and we didn't know anybody, and it was so lonesome, and it was so cold, my dad called, and he says, just go to the Elks Club, and you'll have lots of friends. And Henry and I went to the Elks Club, and I never could be a drinker because of just my body. I was allergic to sugar, basically. But I remember we went into the Elks Club, and they cooked great steaks, and we went up, you know, to the bar, and they said, who are you? We said our name. Oh, I know Harry Barnes. That was my dad. And I know Harry Barnes. And next thing you know, I've got 12 drinks lined up in front of me. 12 drinks. They said, you'll never pay for a drink here. By the way, we're putting a steak on for you. And you can come. And I met people. And after that, I was invited to this home and that home for dinner. And I was included. I was included up there in Fairbanks. The same with me in different places that I went. Down in California. I go down to California. And that was back when I was in those things, in those days. And I understood where somebody would be nice. And I would tell people, go to the Elks Club. Go to the Eagles Club. They'll always embrace you. They don't care what your background is. They don't care if you were a drunk. A drug addict, you come in there, they loved you. They loved you. What's the church doing? I learned today, I don't care what church it is. I go to foreign countries, I see a church, I walk up, that the church is locked, I just sit on the steps and pray. A lot of times over in the other countries, their doors are always open. And you can walk in. But here in America, we lock our doors. Because we're afraid somebody's going to come in here and take something. Because we've tried to keep up with everything. I mean, what is it we're trying to keep up with? What is it that's in the church that's going to be stolen? We're trying to keep up, aren't we? You understand what I'm saying? But we've got people out there that are afraid to come to the church because they're going to be rejected. They don't find it a safe place. They find the Elks and the Eagles Club a safe place. I did. And I'll tell you, I don't care who comes in my church. I've had people that are pedophiles. I've had people that have killed people, that are out, that have served time. I've had the toughest people you'd ever imagine come in our church and come and sit down, Henry and I, and say, this is where I've come from. I'm telling you because you're going to hear about it. And I'm telling you, you are received. And we're going to love you. And you're going to rest here. And you're not going to do anything but rest here until you've healed. We're not going to put you to work. We want you to rest. Amen? And if you've left the church because you got ticked off because you didn't like the way they were doing things, when they come in the church, we sit down and talk to them. We say, you're not going to do anything but rest and heal. And you're going to go back to your church after you feel you've rested and healed, and you're going to make amends. Then if you still feel you want to come back here and be part of our church, we'll welcome you. But you have caused a divorce, and you've caused a lot of hurt, and it's not legal. It's not legal because you have not made amends, and you have not left with a blessing. You've left with a curse, and it will follow you. And you'll go and take that curse in every church you go and visit, and it'll happen over and over and over. It sounds like a marriage, doesn't it? A divorce. You don't get over it. You don't get it settled. You don't get it right. It's just going to go on and on and on. You've got to pull together and form an alliance. We need each other. There's a story in the Bible that's excellent. It's in Joshua chapter 10, and it's entitled, The Sun Stayed Up. And what that story is about, and I'm just going to give it roughly because I want to let you guys go. But in that story, what it was about was there was a king. Let's go to Psalms or Joshua 10 real quick. And I'll just give you just the highlights of it so that I can tell you this story. I love Joshua. I just totally love the book of Joshua. But in 10, there's a king. And this king is Anani Zadok, king of Jerusalem, heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and its king. So he had, and what he had done at Ai and its king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them. And they were feared greatly. And what happened is this king went to four other kings and formed an alliance. Now America has formed an alliance with those five spirits I told you about. America has welcomed the spirit of greed, welcomed the spirit of war, welcomed the spirit of religious spirit, welcomed that mystery spirit, welcomed that lust and perversion, and then that Nimrod spirit. Amen? Well, here's these five kings, bad kings, that formed an alliance and said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go after this city, and we're going to take them. And after we take them, then we're going after Israel. We're going after the Jews. We're going after Joshua. And Joshua had already learned some lessons back in the book of, or back in the chapter about Ai. You remember his men said, we're going after Ai. It was a small fortress. They got there. They got licked. I think 3,000 men got killed. 3,000 men got killed. And when that happened, Joshua was so upset, he went to God and he said, you brought us out. The rumors are going to go. You brought us out of Egypt. We wandered in the desert and then we got here and you're just going to raise armies to kill us. What? Why did you do that? This little fortress. And God said, you need to see the sin that is amongst you. Of course, you know, the family was punished and all the people in that tribe were punished for what God said is you don't take anything. This, when you take Jericho, it is going to be a wave offering. I don't want you to take anything. It's all going to be mine. After that, you can have it all, but I want this. And one of his leaders took it, hid it. But the whole problem wasn't about that leader doing that and that disobedience. The whole problem is if Joshua would have gone before the Lord before they went to battle and asked the Lord for his strategy, God would have told him he had sin in the camp. And I'm telling you today, before you make your decisions, go to the Lord and seek his counsel and his guidance, because you don't know if you got enemies in the camp. Amen? So they've heard that the Lord forgave Joshua, and Joshua went ahead and they took Ai. So they're hearing all these places that there was defeats. And this king was upset, and he talked to five other bad kings, and they formed an alliance and said, we're going to take them out. And so the one that they attacked, he ran and told Joshua, and he says, you got to help us. You got to help us in this because they're attacking us. And Joshua went to God. Joshua went to his men, and they said, yes, they formed an alliance within themselves, and they went against them. So here's this battle of five armies, and God does a miracle. And in fact, even keeping the sun up so they can battle and battle. And one of the men comes to him and says, hey, those five kings right now are hiding up in some caves in the mountains. And he says, go up there and seal that cave up right now till the battle's over. And when the battle was over, he said, go back up and get them. So here's Joshua's leaders all standing around, and here's the five kings, those bad kings that they brought out of the cave, cowards, brought them out of the cave, threw them in front of them, and he says, now. And he's walking back and forth, and it would be like I would pick about five of you and say, now put your heads on the enemy. Let's put our foot on alcoholism. Let's put our foot on sickness. Let's put our foot on our finances, you know, whatever. Let's get our foot right on the neck of the enemy. He said, put your foot on the neck of the enemy. And those his men said, no, no, no. They didn't want to do that. They didn't want to put their feet on the enemy. That's what that scripture says. You know, stand on him. Put him under your feet. Amen? And finally, Joshua, if you read the scripture, I'm just giving it a real short version, but pretty much he said that they started doing it. I can just imagine it. One of you wouldn't let me put my foot on your neck. They get their foot on his neck and they stand on his neck, this king, and go, this is cool! This is cool! And they did. They stood on their necks and made their declarations, and then Joshua told them to stand them up, and Joshua slew them himself. Amen? And then he told them, I think they were beheaded, I'm not sure, but they were hung for the rest of the day as a sign to everybody of their victory. And then he said, now take them all down and put them up in that cave and seal them up there permanently. And according to the Bible, they're still there. Those five kings are still buried, entombed in there. Amen? But God says, form an alliance with me. Form an alliance with me. Let's go back to Psalms 133 and let me finish this up. Here, praise the Lord. He says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Dwelling, because when you dwell together there and there's a power of unity, I'll tell you what, that's hard to break down. You want to talk about a fortress. Amen? So he says, it's like, if you do this, this is what you're going to sense. It's what you sense tonight. Did you feel the oil pouring, the healing oil pouring in the house? He said, it's like the precious oil upon the head running down the beard of Aaron, running down the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending on the mountains of Zion. For the Lord has commanded the blessings, life forevermore. The blessings of unity will pour out. It's like the refreshing, you know, when it talks about Mount Horeb, Hermon here, the freshness, the living water pouring off that mountain, bringing life. Amen. It's a stirring up. It's like the oil running. It's the anointing of God pouring down like over Aaron's beard, all the way down his gown. It's like God is moving. He has the freedom to move. Amen. It is going to be us forming that alliance, coming together, believing. You believing for my health. I believing for your health. Believing for the course that we're set for, that we're to go. God says, how is it? Think about this. With God's power, he can just make you be anything, can't he? He can. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. He gives us a free will choice. And he gives us an outline, and it's right here. And if you believe this outline, you want to do his will. You want to live after him. You know, when Patty and Debbie were up here, and Patty put on that vest, I used to wear vests. I got tons of vests. I wear vests all the time. A lot of my friends decided that's just a way to finish dressing. You're warm enough, you can wear a nice shirt, but you don't have to wear a coat. In Alaska. Amen? But what she was demonstrating is an imitation of what she saw me doing. What I was doing was an imitation of what I have been taught. Amen? To be like Jesus. Amen? She was being like the Jesus through in me. Amen? And I'm not perfect. I'm going to just tell you all right now. I'm not perfect. I'll make mistakes. I'll forget. I may not say the story. You know, some pastors in here know that story by heart. They know where I messed up. But it isn't about messing up. It's about where we're going and the whole thought of it. Where are we going? It's hard to form an alliance with somebody if you're independent. You know, God didn't create us to be independent. But that's what we fight for all the time. We're afraid if somebody really opens up our hearts and sees who we really are, that we won't be accepted. Well, that's a lie. And if you're going somewhere or involved with somebody, that isn't the way they act and love you and accept you no matter what, then it's time for you to move on. It is. Because you need to be where you can form an alliance and be accepted in the beloved. You're all the beloved. And point to hope in myself. I want to bless you for being here tonight. I just gave you tonight just a little bit about what he wanted you to know about his alliance. We've got a war going on in the Middle East, and there are several that formed an alliance and partnered with America with some blasting. It blew me away who it was that stepped up. But I'll tell you what, the battle right now, you need to see it clearly. If you know the Old Testament and the New Testament, we are in a battle against the Persians. That's why all those other countries, the Middle East countries, came up, is they're more afraid of the Persians than those American soldiers. Amen? They hate them for 5,000 years plus, correct? And that's what we're looking at. God formed an alliance with the most unlikely characters, I'll tell you. And God will form an alliance here in Ketchikan, and you would be so surprised. Look around the room at some people in this room that it may surprise you in this room. But they decided to join this alliance to hear what Point to Hope has to say this weekend. And we are honored and blessed that you came and you're giving us a chance. And I pray I did a good job. I pray I didn't blow it. But I pray that you walk out of here and you're willing to come and join this alliance tomorrow night, and the next night, that you will come along and help, and we'll see where God is going to take us and what God wants to do. There should be more men here in the house. Bring your husbands. Bring your friends tomorrow. Go out and say, this is different. This is different. You're going to see them laugh a lot and love a lot and accept a lot. Amen? Amen? And the neat thing is, it's you doing it. It's you exercising, being willing to be those alliance barriers, those ones that are carrying that mighty flag. Come and join us. Amen? Amen. So that cookie part you got tonight, that's alliance. Tomorrow night when I speak, I'm going to give you three words that he gave me that are going to be powerful, and you're going to go, oh my gosh. When I talk to you about what he said about praise, when I talk to you what he said about prayer, what he talked to me about prophecy, it's like you've probably never looked at it before, what he's expecting. So come and let me share my journey from Georgia to Alaska as he told me what he wanted me to tell you today, tonight, tomorrow night, and Saturday night. Amen? So with that, let me close in prayer. And I open up the altar. We have a team here that if you want some prayer, if you've had a problem with being independent, thinking you don't need anybody, come on up front and say, you know, I want that spirit broken off of me. I want to walk in alliance with God and his people. How many of you want to walk in alliance with God? Come on now. I want to see your hands raised high. Make a convincing conviction here. I want to be in alliance with God and God's people. Amen? And I don't want to just be the form of godliness. Say it. I don't want to be just the form of godliness. I want to walk with the power within. Amen? And I'll tell you what, if you come back tomorrow night, you're going to find out some awesome things. What God said about praise, the kind of praise he wants. What God says about prayer and the kind of prayer he wants out of your mouth. And what God has to say about prophecy that reflects and works right through each one of you. Amen? So it's going to be the cream. And I have a surprise for you. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for everyone that's here tonight. And I pray that they had ears to hear. That they had ears to hear. And that, Lord, they heard the sound of alliance. And, Lord, each one is going to finish my sentences. They're going to go home and think about that word alliance and what the importance of unity. And in that alliance, we can't do it by ourselves. We need each other, just like the body needs the legs and the arms and the head and the feet. We need each other. Amen? And Father, I just pray tonight that we go home and get a good night's sleep. But I pray that you would stir it up in my brothers and sisters to call their friends and their relatives and their kids and their aunts and their uncles and their moms and their dads and say, come, it's a good time in the Lord. It's a good time in the Lord. You will leave different. Lord, we just praise you and thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen?
Amen.
You want prayer? Come on up here. Don't be afraid.